Christopher Donahue, I have already waxed enthusiastic and embarrassingly about your great talents as an actor on this podcast before, so it is both thrilling and ever so slightly intimidating to be talking to you right now.
Oh, for God's sake. For God's sake.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 941, Chekhov to Dickens. For the third year in a row, I'm alternating in the role of Ebenezer Scrooge in the Goodman Theatre production of A Christmas Carol here in Chicago. And this year, my Scrooge prime, as twere, is Christopher Donahue, a beloved Chicago actor who's performed all over the world and played Scrooge before at the Milwaukee Repertory Theatre. The first time I saw Chris on stage, he was playing Captain Ahab in David Catlin's extraordinary adaptation of Moby Dick at Looking Glass Theater. And of course, Chris has worked with Tony-winning director and friend of the pod, Mary Zimmerman, since their days together at Northwestern. I was excited to talk with Chris between two of his performances of Christmas Carol last weekend, and I began by embarrassing both of us, talking about his performance as Gayev in Robert Falls's 2023 production of Anton Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard, also at the Goodman.
My sense is you don't love talking about acting. Am I right about that?
Well, I don't love talking about it because I am terrible at expressing myself. And I have complicated feelings about it at this stage of my life and career. But that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, and that's one of the reasons I like doing the podcast, because it's just artists sitting around trying to be articulate about this mysterious thing that we do and trying to demystify what we do.
Yeah.
Because it's a craft, like anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
The reason I wanted to talk to you now is that you were in Bob Falls's final production of the Goodman Theater of The Cherry Orchard a year ago, and your performance was, to me, revelatory. I know, you just rolled your eyes, and rightly so. Because in the sense that you always hear that Chekhov is really funny. Yes, it's sad, but it's also funny. It's rarely true. But in your performance, it really was true. And even though you've said, I don't really know how to talk about what I do, how did you do that?
Well, a lot of the credit goes to Bob Falls, whose approach to the whole thing was as a comedy.
Yeah.
And I guess there was a very famous fight between Stanislavski and Chekhov when it was first produced back in Russia in the olden times. Chekhov believed it was a comedy, labeled it a comedy. Stanislavski violently believed the opposite, that it was a tragedy.
Wow.
So Bob went with Chekhov and approached it with a lightness that it deserves, yeah, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in all of our opinion, those of us who were involved with it, because it's kind of the key to Chekhov, is that there's humor in the midst of these really intense emotions and intense situations. It is all very easily dismissed in favor of something funny. And something that takes the piss out of the deep, horrible thing that hangs over so many, almost nearly all,
right,
Chekhov characters.
Yeah.
He showed this film to us, which I had seen before, by this filmmaker, Nikita Mikhalkov, who made a film called An Unfinished Piece for a Player Piano, and another film called Burnt by the Sun, which is pure. I know a Player Piano was actually based on, I think, Platonov, a Chekhov play. But there's an amount of humor and absurdity that is almost surrealistic about these films.
Yeah.
And it rings true with performing it on stage. It's a kind of release.
Uh-huh.
You know, that extraordinary third act in Cherry Orchard where they're at this party, this foolish, expensive party.
Yeah.
And everybody is drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And emotions get very high and people can confront each other. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, within 30 seconds, it's dismissed. And everyone's dancing, and everyone's laughing, and it's the push and pull between those two extremes that makes it so entertaining and ring true to an audience watching it. I think
That sounds exactly right. And I've read some Chekhov short stories, and of course, in his short stories, he gets to describe how these characters are behaving and thinking, and you don't get that on stage necessarily. You have to trust that the actors are inhabiting these roles and living these roles. And as you say, it's hard to stay on the walk that line between the tragic and the comic. And yet you were able to do that so well in that production, and so many of the actors were. Is that a did that line get easier to walk once you had an audience, or did you begin to sense that in rehearsal already?
Oh, it was easily sensed in rehearsal because that was something we were working toward as a group. But of course, always the audience teaches you how to perform the play. Yeah, always. Because they're the reason why we do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always a great relief for me in many respects to be in front of an audience finally, because I begin to learn, oh, that's what this is about, that's what rings true. And I'm not just talking about it's not just audible responses. You when you feel the air change in the room, it teaches you something. And with a Chekhov play, you're asking an audience to chart so many characters and so much drama that you begin to very easily map it out in your head. And plus you have your fellow performers.
Sure.
And you see it in their faces and you hear it in their voices and watch what they're doing with their body and how they're standing, you know.
And how they're figuring it out night to night. Did it help that your character was not driving the narrative, that you had the freedom to be commenting from the sidelines?
Yes, that's all that character is capable of.
Right.
He's a true idiot.
Yeah.
He is, in many respects, but he feels very, very deeply.
Yeah.
Even though it does not seem to register to him or his sister.
Yeah.
The absolute dire situation that they're in, you know?
Yeah.
So it was very easy. I mean, Gayev, my feeling of Gayev is that he just bounces off whatever situation he's in.
Right.
And if there's someone who annoys him, that person really annoys him. Right. If there's someone he's just absolutely head over heels to be in the presence of, then it's that too. I mean, way back in the olden days in acting class in college, they always talked about the Russian spine and all that kind of thing, which, of course, is true.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's very sort of, and it was always approached as, yes, it's strong and it's you know, concrete, and but it's so loose as well that, you know, you hit one thing after another, one wall, then the opposite wall, and then you sit down, or you lie down on the ground, or you know, it's a I encourage anyone who's interested in Chekhov to check out these films.
Yeah,
because it shows you perfectly what it's all about.
That's such a good acting note, not just for Chekhov, but for other plays. Is that if you feel something, feel it.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're a quote-unquote smart character, you feel passionately about whatever it is you're pontificating about. Yeah. Speaking as one who plays a lot of smart, talky characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feel it, certainly, but be prepared to abandon it on a dime.
Right.
Because that's what Chekhov does.
Yes.
It's a quick turnaround, and a lot of the humor lies in that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And a lot of the terribly interesting humanness of it lies in that.
And is that different from other playwrights? In Shakespeare, do they do a lot of switching on a dime or other playwrights that you've worked on?
Oh, geez, I don't know from Shakespeare, but it seems like Shakespeare, I don't know, man. You know better than me about Shakespeare. I mean, Shakespeare goes on at length about things.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, you could, if it's not there, you could certainly instill it in a way. But it's just tremendously true of Chekhov, and that's why it's so much fun to perform on stage.
Yes.
It's meant for the stage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Because it's physical and it's robust. Mm. And it's everything that people's, you know, our modern brains do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's given physical form.
Hi, I'm Kate Powers, founder and star baker at the Redeeming Time Project, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In March of 2025, we'll return to the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts for the 3-week Lort Theater premiere of The Comedy of Hamlet, a prequel. And in April and May of 2025, we're bringing back an updated version of All the Great Books Abridged and performing it in Bristol, Tennessee, Harrisonburg, Virginia, Louisville, Kentucky, Elyria, Ohio, Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, and Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with actor Christopher Donahue, now playing Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol at the Goodman Theater through December 30th, 2025.
I'm now finding parallels between Chekhov, 19th century, Dickens, 19th century, and yet Dickens has the language that I associate with Shakespeare, the Britishness of it.
Yeah.
And Scrooge is a very emotional character. He's covering a lot, but he's got a ton of emotions.
Yeah.
None of that was a question, but do you have any response?
Well, I think you're exactly right.
Yeah.
It's the way Dickens writes him.
Yeah.
It's very telling to me always, since I first read the story and certainly since I first performed the role. It's the moment when he, in the book, when he sees himself as a kid, abandoned, and his, and this is right off the bat, his emotion, his response is to sit and weep uncontrollably, which is very telling to me.
And that's from the novel.
That's in the novel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He is just beside himself with grief at seeing his own self as a child.
Yeah.
And that's where it is, in my opinion. That's where the whole problem is.
Yeah.
That's what leads him to, as Bell says later to him, you fear the world too much.
Yeah.
And that's, in my opinion, the whole kernel of the problem. You fear the world, so you've closed yourself off to it.
Yeah.
But yes, it's that deep, deep, you know, most often very terrible, sad or angry or both, that's just underneath the surface.
Yeah.
And the moment it's expressed or felt in such in a big way, in Scrooge's case, I would hope it's an indication, as it was for me, that this is a man who's capable of change.
Yeah.
Because all of that is right underneath his shitty, shitty, shitty behavior.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And that's what the ghosts show him. That's what the ghosts bring out in him.
I love that notion that that Ghost of Christmas Past breaks him right away.
Right away.
Right by showing him his youngest self.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And which allows him to then be remade.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. From the start.
Mm-hmm.
Literally from the start.
Yeah.
Here's what you were.
Right.
And here's what you could be again.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Such a great story. My problem. Oh, I've got so many problems being the alternates. But my problem, my problem is that I don't get to have these kinds of conversations because I'm not in the room. You know, usually when these conversations happen. But that's so right on and so true. And what I love about your approach to Scrooge is that you are so connected in a way I've always tried to be, so connected to the other characters on stage, to the other people that you are being shown in these memories. Yeah. For me, the revelation is seeing not only just my younger self, but seeing the other people I never noticed at the time, like the Fezziwigs.
Yeah, Fezziwigs. Yeah. That's a big deal. Fezziwig is a big deal. And in the novel, he gets carried away.
Yeah.
By the end of it, he is completely discovering this joyful part of himself, which... Yeah. Has long been forgotten.
Yeah.
Simply because of the how it all ends up with Bell.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And one of the other things I need to thank you for is allowing both of us to not have to wear wigs and to grow our own mutton chops. So thank you, sir.
I know. Hooray. it's the true magic of the theater.
Then we get to look like 19th century assholes for 3 months.
We get to wander the world looking like douchebags. Fantastic. Oh, the sacrifice.
None dare call it acting. I didn't even get a chance to ask you about Captain Ahab. What was that like?
Captain Ahab. For me, playing that part was all about being in that production, that specific production of it.
Yeah.
Which was kind of being in the circus, literally.
Yeah.
In the circus.
Yeah.
You know, every child at some point, probably most kids, think, what a cool thing to run away and join the circus.
100%.
I kind of did that, but I was playing, you know, Ahab.
Another asshole.
Another asshole. I'm good at it.
It's good to have a niche. Can you say in front of a hot microphone what you told me was your relationship to Mary Zimmerman?
Oh, well, I'm her bitch. for sure.
and what do you mean by that?
Well, I just mean that I have been with her from the beginning. I've been part of her stable of actors.
Yeah.
Probably the longest hanger-on at this point. And I owe her everything.
Mm.
I really do. Mm. I mean, I wouldn't have been seen in Chicago 30 years ago had I not been sort of, had she not taken me with her, quite literally all over the country. Mm. It's tremendously precious to me, but I am her bitch. I totally am.
You'll do whatever she asks you to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, more importantly, at this point, I know what's expected of me, and I know what she, what she wants from me.
It's a great working artistic relationship.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I love the idea that you are the chorus captain of the Mary Zimmerman Dancers.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, absolutely. I realized early on when we started working with each other, and this was in school, I mean, up at Northwestern in the performance studies department.
Yeah.
I realized early on that there was something really cool about her sort of theatrical vocabulary, and there was something that I could do. I could be very useful to her because I responded to it so well. So, and you know, here we are.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. You can see Christopher Donahue, or me, as Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol at the Goodman Theater through December 30th. Go to goodmantheater.org for more information. Then send us your ghost of Christmas presents via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespearians.com. Thanks as always to Child Size Turkey Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to our old friend AA Avedon Ackerson. no reason, it is just random. Special thanks to Kate Powers, head baker at the Redeeming Time Project. Go to plainkate.com for more information. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tischner, 941 2823rd of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You lied to me, you motherfucker. You're very articulate about this stuff.
Well, very good. Good. It's because I'm so tired, I think.
The best idea is to talk to you between shows.
Yes, exactly. Because now I'm going to crash.
Do.
I'm going to crash.
Crash away.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. And so much less. And so much less. And so much less.